Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very, very well, mate. Now, this debate this week about moving the pre-finals bye to pre-grand final in the wake of AFLW captain of Adelaide, Chelsea Randall, suffering a concussion and having to miss. I saw Nick Riewoldt's comments on Fox Footy as well, saying, well, if he was ruled out of a grand final, he'd go to the Supreme Court and get an injunction. What have you made of it all? And is it a good move to move that bye to pre-grand final, like, say, we see with the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's always a good debate, and we want the best players playing grand finals, don't we? We want to see all the stars roll out there. We want to see both sides. We have no excuses as far as injuries. We just want to see them match up against each other. And if someone misses being, you know, 10 days into the concussion protocol, where if they're able to tick all the boxes, but due to the little technicality they can't play, I don't think we'd all be happy with that. The other thing coming into play with this, and I remember my time playing it, do all the hard work during the year, you finish top four, there's a pre-finals bye, which brings the bottom four of the eight into play. Because what ends up happening is the top four play each other. If you win, then you get another week off. So you're playing one game in over 20-something days, and that's actually a disadvantage. You don't get the continuity of football, whereas... Oh, there we go. There's a Sydney City Rooster just starts
down at me. I'm up on the farm. It's in your backyard, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm up on my sister's farm at the moment. Big bloody roosters, and I don't think they've adjusted to daylight savings either. So it was actually not giving an advantage to the top four. It was actually disadvantaging. So that's where the push is coming as well. So it's almost giving a chance for everyone to have a rest to finish, you know, top two, because most of the time it's the top four that play off in the grand final. That makes sense after I had Roosters. Yeah. Cock-a-doodly-dooing in the background?
No, it completely makes sense. The thing that I find difficult to understand, because it does give all those teams an advantage having that that bye the week before the finals, I think if you're going to have the bye, you're better off to have it for the grand final teams. The two best teams, when they get there, they get the advantage rather than everyone else getting the opportunity to rest their players for an extra week and having a full tilt at it. Because didn't that happen with the Bulldogs a couple of years ago? In that first week of the finals, they wouldn't have been able to not field the team, but some of their best players wouldn't have been available.
Yeah, and I think that's where it sort of gathered a bit of momentum of being a good idea and a feel-good idea that actually finally gave sides in the bottom half of the eight the greatest shot at winning the flag. It's just who still says top four. We know the Bulldogs won a flag. We know the Crows, going back a few years ago, finished fifth. And even the Giants a couple of years ago, they finished sixth and went on this amazing run. So everyone was like, oh, this is pretty good. It means everyone in the eight to live chance. And with the Dogs, if they hadn't have had that bye, they had half a dozen players of their best players. They wouldn't have played the first final. So the week off got them all right and they went on that dream run.
You must have been happy last week, mate, with the Giants winning their first game against Collingwood.
Yeah, very happy they won their first game, but it was probably more the manner they played against. And it was against Collingwood again at the MCG where no one gave them a shot. You go back to their preliminary final where they just hung on and made it to their first granny. But look, they were back to their hard, brutal best and defended really well. And that was the pleasing bit. They had a stack of young kids. They had four or five players who had never been to the MCG before, not even for the tour, around the sports museum. Big Sausage Mumford, who's got the best gig in footy. He plays once every 9 or 10 weeks, and then he has a rest. And he was fantastic.
Hey, Jimmy, we've had a couple of Giants players on the program, and sort of when I've put it to them that, you know, they haven't been playing well, they sort of answered with, well, actually, we've been happy with the way we've been going. While not winning, we've been happy. Was that an assessment that you had as well?
I think then if you followed up and said, well, clearly the Freo game, they'd agree that was abysmal. Like, that was a horrible performance, and they own that. Even Leon Cameron said that. You go, yep, put your hand up. That was a bad throw. That was all on us. But against the Saints, it was probably some decision-making late that cost them, and they lost by a kick. I know Dan Butler kicked one with the siren at the end, but they lost by a kick. And then against Melbourne, they're on fire. They kicked the first, you know, five goals of the game. They just ran out of soldiers. They had no one left on the bench, and Melbourne full of confidence and energy just overran them. So I'll use a bit of the coach speak, all the KPIs and things like that. They've been ticking all them off apart from the Freo game, but just probably haven't got the result that they could deserve.
Jimmy, can they beat the Swannies with this confidence now?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important. We all know in sport, you sometimes just need to see it to get that confidence. And I reckon they did last week, and that'd be Leon Cameron and the coaches. You know, the coaching thing, you show the etiquette. Look, see, and if you defend that way or if you get off the ball that way, we get results. And sometimes you just need to see it and fill them full of air. So hopefully they catch the Swannies on a bit of a flat patch because they've been amazing. And Essendon took it right up to them last week.
This is a hard one for you, Jimmy, but I read some comments during the week, but they reckoned that the Giants got it wrong in making Cornelio captain, and a guy like Toby Green should have been the captain in the first place. What did you make of the commentary surrounding that comment?
Yeah, I always find it funny. There's no good captains in losing sides, is there? Mm. Like we only talk about great captains in winning sides, but you'd find if you actually dig a little bit deeper, there's some great captains in some losing sides, and there's some great stuff. But I remember going back probably 5 or 6 ago, and St. Cochin was a terrible captain. You know, he's the best captain in the game. Like, if they go hand in hand with McPherson, everyone go, well, it must be the captain. It's going bad, well, it must be the captain. And that's part of the role. It's like being the coach. You know, you're the figurehead of what's going on in the club. But look, the fact that all these peers, players, everyone at the football club has voted twice in a row, it wasn't just like Cogs, you're the captain, that you'd be the best leader. I think that speaks volumes.
How much trouble's Nathan Buckley in at Collingwood? I know he's been the subject of plenty of talkback radio chat throughout the week in Melbourne.
Yeah, as simple as it is, it's the win-loss league, isn't it? So he loses one after the siren against Brisbane, and they could have been 2-2, and it's not even a discussion. They lose that one, they get beaten against the Giants, a young and inexperienced Giants, and his job's on the line again. So that's the nature of it. I think where the frustration comes for a lot of people externally is they've actually got a reasonably young list, but he's playing all the old boys and they're losing. So that makes it really hard. And when you're playing all the young kids and you lose, you can sort of go, look, I'm playing all the kids. It's going to take some time. But he's gone back and back for the guys that took him to the grand final a couple of years ago, and it's not working. So I think for him, if he starts filtering in some of the young guys, he changes up where a few of them play, I think it'll give him a bit of breathing room.
All right, Jimmy, we know with your former club, they're all in terms of going after that premiership.
Oh, they won't admit that, though.
Oh, they won't admit that.
No, we're the underdogs. We're the underdogs. Get out of here. You've just gone and got 3 champions.
Mate, where are they at?
Look, they're a bit like Richmond. They haven't hit full gear, and I don't know whether that's just because backing up straight away after a grand final. Their ball movement's been really slow. They've been playing really conservative, but that's the way Chris Scott likes his sides to play. But that's not the way the game's being played this year. So there's a bit of conflicting philosophies going on at the moment in the footy. It's the Cats who love, almost like to turn the game into machine light. We win the ball, we'll methodically move it up, we'll block you in, and that's how we'll score it. But the game's been played at a lot quicker speed and a lot more transition going on. Now, they'll probably get back home. I think they play the Kangaroos. The Kangaroos are in a complete rebuild. They're trying to rebuild the first rebuild on top of it. They'll win that, and then they'll get back home down at GMHBA Stadium. For the last 160 years, the Cats win 9 and 10 games there. So they'll just start motoring along and pick some confidence up.
I love a rebuild on a rebuild on a rebuild.
Oh, yeah. He's spot
on, though.
They just
keep rebuilding.
They've had it for you.
Yeah.
The biggest problem just going to the Kangaroos is they got stuck in that no man's land, and which is bad in our game with the draft, is you keep finishing between 7th and 13th. So you're never actually really contending for a flag, but you're never getting the best kids in the door either. And eventually you've just got to go, look.
But Jimmy, do they give them time? I mean, you always hear about the rebuild, and then everything's rosy when you sign the new coach and we're heading down this path. But then after 18 months when they haven't won games and we're still on this rebuilding phase, everyone gets a bit nervous and, you know, the board come under a bit of pressure and next thing you know, the coach is gone and we're starting again.
Well, I think you just have to put in early what you're trying to achieve as far as game style. And Carlton did that a few years ago under Brendan Bolton. And then it stagnated and that was where it got to, as you said, the board and the fans go, well, we can't see it. What are you trying to do? You've got all these young kids in. We don't know how you're trying to play. And then they brought in David Teague and said immediately, look, I want to attack a bit more. Let's be a bit more creative. And he said, that buys your time. I think when you do a rebuild, you got to set early what do you look like? What's your identity, I guess, is the key word we're looking for. And I think he's just trying to find out which of his kids are good enough and what other holes are on his list still. So they're still actually doing some list assessment.
Well, we'll have all your selections on our socials, Jimmy, but as far as the Giants are concerned, you're kidding yourself. Go the Swannies, but, mate, have a great weekend.
No worries, gentlemen.